Batwoman casting on the CW network. Batista crying about Guardians of the Galaxy 3 and James Gunn, as well as reminiscing on the 90s. This and much more on this week's episode of The Stuff Podcast Show. Welcome to The Stuff, the podcast where you and I literally talk about what else? Stuff. This is your comedic escapades podcast show, and I'm your host, Ian Walker. Now, let's go talk about some stuff. So, first things first in the news today. Well, first off, thanks for tuning into The Stuff podcast show, today's episode. I always appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to my podcast and listen to my voice all the time. I apologize if I sound a little wheezy. This week's been kind of difficult. Some of you guys don't know I have asthma, so sometimes that'll flare up and get me all jacked up a little bit. But I'm hoping over time that will subside a bit. So I apologize in advance for that. But first things first, I wanted to jump into some things that I did want to talk about in regard to, yes, more movie news, more movie information. Two things, movies and TV. I want to kind of knock these two out first. Batista from Guardians of the Galaxy. We're getting some more backlash about James Gunn's firing. And Batista is showing his grand disapproval over James Gunn's firing. And Disney is probably, like I mentioned, that I hoped that Disney wouldn't do, is throwing away James Gunn's script for Guardians 3. I think that would be very foolish on Disney's part to do that. I call it that might happen only because Disney wants to distance themselves from James Gunn as much as possible. And I can understand that from a business standpoint, but from another business standpoint, because there's two sides. I think a moral business standpoint, I understand. But from a money business standpoint, I think it's a bad idea. I don't think they should throw it out completely. James Gunn has a formula that has been proven. It has worked twice. For them to throw it all out, I think would be a mistake. I don't think it's a very smart thing to do. I don't run Disney though. So, you know, I don't have much say on that really, but just my opinion as a fan looking in, I don't think it's a very smart thing to do. It is understandable though, based on what has been done, what he's done and what he said. And again, I don't feel like, I think Disney forgets that people can change. People don't do and say the same things they did and said 10 years prior. So to fire him, I think, wasn't that smart of a move. But at the same time, based on what the Disney company stands for, I see why it was done. So going off on that, Dave Bautista, as we all know from WWE fame and more recently as Drax the Destroyer in the Guardians of the Galaxy films, he is throwing a big, huge conniption fit. Dude's acting like a petulant little child. Again, I see his reasoning for it. At the same time, we are starting to now see where his loyalties really lie. His loyalties didn't really lie with Marvel Studios and Disney. It lied in with James Gunn. For him to speak so vocally about what happened with James Gunn, and to, on top of that, because the other actors spoke out about it too. They thought it was unfair, it wasn't right. But Dave Bautista is going above that in saying, you know, if they throw out and don't use his script, I'm leaving the movie. And that's just stupid. Don't do that. Like, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? You know, you don't do that. Okay. You're making yourself look bad. And as a star that is out of the WWE, that is successfully moved into movies. I want to say second most successful WWE star that successfully moved into movies. The first being The Rock, I believe. I'm trying to make sure my wrestling stuff is on point. I think it was The Rock who was the first one. The Rock, and then second being you, Dave Bautista, and then the third being John Cena in the realm of movies and TV. You know, he kind of has a thing on him, typecast. There you go. If he makes this move to where he leaves and breaches his contract with Disney and Marvel Studios, the dude's going to get blackballed. And it's no secret that Hollywood doesn't like Disney very much. They've been blamed or been accused of being a very nefarious company, weird business practices, undercover monopolies, you know, extremely arrogant, feels that they can do no wrong, blah, 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 this and this and that. Okay, well, all that might be true in Hollywood circles. What still rings true in Hollywood or in any industry, any mainstream industry, whether it be music, whether it be movies, anything that requires a serious contract, you do not breach your contract. And especially with Disney, you bust that up, dude, you're getting blackballed. And unfortunately for Batista, if that happens, the dude's going to get blackballed. You're not going to see him being able to work in Hollywood much anymore. And if you do, it's going to be very hard for him to pick up additional roles to do. So I think he needs to calm down. Okay? Just calm down, dude. It's not that big a deal. If you're unhappy with the way things are going, do this as the last film. Announce it. Say this is it. And walk away. But to throw out threats like that, honestly, you're only hurting yourself. He's only hurting himself. And there's a way to do certain things. And unfortunately, this isn't a good look. I believe personally he's trying to get Disney to fire him so that he could still go on and do other things. I really don't think he's dumb enough to walk out and breach a contract. Because if he doesn't understand the power of Disney now, if he breaches his contract, he's going to find out how powerful Disney really is. Okay. And it won't be a good thing. Him coming back to the WWE might be a possibility. Don't know. But I think in this era where wrestling is now, yeah, for a while, people might be hyped, but he'll die out again very quickly. And unfortunately, he'll end up being a forgotten relic. Someone that people really just don't talk about anymore. So I hope he really turns it around and just doesn't do anything that's going to damage him and himself, you know. This is the last time I'm going to talk about this whole James Gunn Guardians thing, because it is a little ridiculous, to be quite honest. But I will say this is where the ball is in Disney's court. It's Disney's play right now. A lot of people accuse them of being possibly a very, very arrogant company that feels they can do no wrong. They can take this opportunity now against Dave Bautista and show their butt if they wanted to. And just be like, you know what? We're going to throw out the script. We're going to do whatever we want. We're going to hire somebody new. We're going to go in a new direction. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We get rid of people publicly. And then lose favor with the fans. Or they can keep the script, keep everybody going, and handle it internally, which I think would be the smarter business choice. Handle it internally. It's already out in the public eye with this firing of James Gunn, so they have that against them. But if they handle this internally and don't play into Dave Bautista's hands, you know, I think that will be a smart thing for them to do. And it'll actually show a lot. As we all know, the most powerful people in the world don't show off their power, right? So as powerful as Disney is, I think this is one chance where they can really just say, you know what? Cool. Do you. We're going to keep going with what we're going to do, or we're going to keep some things. We're going to tweak it a little bit. We're going to throw our own spin, ease in a new director. Just like I said in the back, handle Dave Bautista privately. Handle the rest of the cast and crew and people that didn't agree with what happened on a private level, and then move on from there. And I think that would be the right way to do it. We'll see. We will see, though. Disney's got a lot, is on a big high right now. They won out huge contract with Fox, which means Marvel Studios is going to be getting a couple more properties, Fantastic Four and X-Men. So there's a lot coming down the pipeline. And honestly, I don't feel that they're going to do anything to potentially alienate an audience, or especially this audience, this Marvel audience, and to do anything to jeopardize the growth that they're at right now. Because let's just be real, people. Let us just be real. Disney is becoming a monopoly. It is going to be unwritten, under the table, the world's first monopoly. I feel. I mean, I'm seeing the things that they're picking up, the assets that they're picking up, the properties that they're getting, and they're doing it smart. Because yeah, they're saying, hey, like with Fox, hey, we just want our characters. We just want our characters for Marvel Studios. You know, they're under our banner. They want their characters. They want to make some movies. Let's work together. Let's just have our characters and go from there. And they won. They beat out Comcast. Comcast dropped out. They're done. But we're not going to be stupid. We're not dumb. We see what's happening. When you have Disney's influence on stuff, you're going to start slowly seeing Disney dipping their fingers into the foxhole, as it were, and adding in some of their ideas and putting in some of the things that you'll start seeing on Fox. You're going to start seeing a lot of Disney everywhere, or there are other banners under the Disney label and those other things that they buy. Believe you me, guys, that's what's happening. It's going to happen if it hasn't already. The process has already started. That's why Disney has hated so much. And one of the reasons why people always are trying to hate on them, because they're beginning to pull off things that no other company has been able to pull off. They've got their hands in so many pots. It's ridiculous. It's why they have to go to court in order to get Fox in the first place, because they were accused of trying to become a monopoly. They were trying to prevent that from happening. And according to the law, no one company can become a monopoly over certain things. When AT&T in the past tried to buy out some stuff, real quick pause. I know I'm getting all businessy real quick, but it's just stuff based on what I've read. When AT&T tried to buy out, what was it? I want to say it was T-Mobile or something like that. Or Sprint, something like that, some phone company. They also had a similar situation. They went to court and they lost. And the reason why they lost was because AT&T was attempting to become a monopoly and it wasn't allowed. Disney played it smart. They said, we just want rights to certain characters. Okay? But trust me, if they have rights to those certain characters and they say, okay, we don't want to do an X-Men movie. Real quick, what show is on Fox currently right now that's getting season 2? The Gifted, right? Now that Disney and Marvel Studios owns Fox, what do you think is going to happen now with The Gifted? I don't see X-Men movies anymore. I think the X-Men movies have run their course. I really do. I think we're going to start seeing X-Men being brought back to television. FX, they have Legion. What do you think is going to happen now that Marvel Studios has the X-Men? What are those? Those are both Fox companies. Okay? They're going to stay there. They're not going to take them and try to put them on their own. Oh, yeah, they will. They'll put them on their own Disney networks. Disney Netflix series, which their Netflix network, which is also been announced just recently. You know, smart. I mean, Disney, you guys just think about what I'm saying here. Think about what I'm saying, you business savvy people. Look at what's going on. You're going to start seeing these things on TV. They're going to make so much money. It's going to be ridiculous. It's going to be ridiculous. And for us fans, it's going to be delicious. I promise you, it's going to be delicious. It's going to be wonderful because we're going to see all the things that we've wanted to see for so long. I don't see any more X-Men movies. I think after Dark Phoenix, I think that's going to be it. The Gifted is such a great show. Now that Marvel Studios has it now, has the property, we're going to start seeing a lot more X-Men characters slowly being officially used and brought into television. And if DC's not careful, Marvel's going to move them out. That's too early to tell, but, it's just with little things that's happening, I just see writing on the wall. Okay, that's all I'm saying. And so, based on that, speaking of DC and what they're doing, was just announced the new Batwoman, who is going to be playing Batwoman. It was announced that Batwoman was going to be on Arrow. I believe that was about a month and a half ago. And here we go again with Arrow trying to be Batman and bringing in all the Batman characters. Yeah, I don't like it. He's not Batman, and I'm going to keep saying that till I'm purple. Because black dudes can't turn blue, so we turn purple. We don't need it. Okay, but, however, on IGN, it's been reported that Ruby Rose, who is a character on the Netflix show Orange is the New Black, beautiful woman, has been cast as Kate Kane. Says here she will play Kate Kane, described as a young woman with a passion for social justice and highly strained in street fighting. And there's going to be a December crossover on Arrow with the Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, and the Legends of Tomorrow, which might then get her own TV series. So with Gotham going off of television, this being its final season, I believe that show quite possibly is going to be the one that will take over the slot that Gotham took, that Gotham held for the last 5 years. Makes sense. I kind of see where they're going. They want to put Bat stuff in there, but, you know, without the name or whatever. I don't know. We'll see. And it's not saying that, you know, that it's Fox, but on Fox, but it'll be in that same time frame, I believe. I wouldn't be surprised if CW said, hey, let's put on Batwoman at the same time as when Gotham was on, when it was on television. It would be smart. Keep some more people glued to the CW, as superhero fans to keep watching. Personal opinion on Batwoman, like I said, in the show, not necessary. He's not Batman. She shouldn't be there. You know, it's a crossover thing. So I guess they're introducing it to introduce her TV show that may come on, depending on the reception of the character. Nobody knows who Batwoman is. I really don't think anybody cares. The fact that this is a social justice warrior type character, is going to put a sour taste in a lot of people's mouth. She couldn't just be a person. She couldn't just be a female superhero that just kicked butt and just fought crime. You know, she had to be, we had to inject more real life and real life issues into this. And as everyone knows, if anybody is familiar with the Batwoman character, she is a lesbian. You know, that is the character that it was made for. That's what they've decided. If they, you know, they're going to play on that, obviously. And that's fine. That's their character. They're going to do what they want to do with that. What I don't want are those things thrown in our faces. Only because, and this is on a personal level, only because, again, this is supposed to be a show where we're supposed to get some escape from the real world. Supergirl has thrown their social justice stuff in there, and it has suffered. You know, it's suffered because people can't, when people talk, when I talk about personal level, when I talk about superheroes with my son, I have him, I want to be able to show him a comic book and say, I've showed him my old comics and say, hey, this superhero does this. They have these type of powers and this is the type of, you know, the things that they do. And these are the bad guys and these are the villains and this is what they do. It's fun. It's cool. It's exciting. It's neat. It's something that, yeah, even they aspire to. Kids may aspire to. Again, when you inject real life issues and real life things into a show and social justice messages, and yes, feminist ideals, all those types of things, you take the fun out of the comic book world. You do. I don't want to have to watch a show and have to explain why, you know, certain things are happening on there. I don't want to do that. I want to be able to sit down and watch a show with my son and be like, hey, wasn't that cool, this part, when blah, blah, blah. That's why I like The Flash. As corny as The Flash is and as horribly written as it has been, The Flash has been one television show where I can legitimately sit with my son, with my friends, and everybody, and just sincerely have fun. You know, yes, at times they have their social justice moments, but it's not bam in your face. another show that's kind of like that. It's extremely terrible, but they'll throw up the social justice stuff every once in a while. But Legends of Tomorrow, horrible show, but overall that show is fun. They got a balance of the two. They figured out how to balance it. Again, I personally don't watch the show because I just think the show is horrible in general. But they know how to balance those things. Supergirl, unfortunately, has just gone overt social justice warrior and just completely, I think, drugged DC mythos through the mud, personally. That's just me. I could be wrong. And there's going to be tons of you out there probably who are huge fans that don't agree with me. And that's okay. That's okay. That's just what I feel on a personal level. It's just a lot. But I just want to have fun when I watch these shows. I don't want to have to explain things. I don't want to, that's not comic book. That's not related to comic books. I remember when Smallville was on TV, I remember explaining to my ex-wife and my son, we were watching Smallville. Smallville was a fun show. It had its little teen angst. But my wife would ask a question. I would be explaining stuff, but it would be about the show or Superman mythos. And Superman mythos, that's my thing. Okay, so I was in that. I was more than happy to explain it. I want to explain things like that, not why certain real life issues are in a television show that should be fantasy. Okay, that should be an escape from the real world. Again, that's just me. I just feel that Batwoman is going to be another one of those platforms where they can put that in everybody's face. I'm always curious. Being a DC fanboy, I am going to go check it out. I'll probably give it 2 to 3 episodes again because I'm a DC fanboy. It's really going to depend on the trailer, what the trailer looks like, really. I don't know what direction the show's going to go in, so I just want to see it. Does Batwoman deserve a television show? No. Because no one knows who she is. No one cares about who she is. People are going to see her. They're going to make her look cool. They're going to make her look neat. They're going to be like, oh, man, she's awesome. She's cool, sweet, cool. But at the end of the day, no one's going to care. They've got to have very compelling stories. They've got to have very non-cliche plot lines. They have got to be very careful with plot holes, not to have any. For people to care, because that's going to be a show. If it is successful, it'll be successful through word of mouth. That's how the show will be successful. Okay. That's how Smallville got so successful. Smallville was successful through word of mouth. I refused to watch Smallville at first. I was like, that's pretty boy Clark Kent. That ain't Superman. No. I didn't watch the show for the first 3 years it was on. I did not. I refused to watch it. And I remember to this day at a comic book store in Fremont, shouts to Treasure Island Comics, and Byron, who turned me on to Smallville. He told me this is an Elseworlds story. This is not Superman. This is Superboy. And you need to watch the show. And when he told me that, I didn't realize that at first. But when he told me that, I went and gave it a shot. I watched all of season 4, went back, watched all of season 4, loved it, went back, watched season 1 through 4 again before season 5 came on. And I had continued watching the show all the way until the final season. So, all the way to the end. So, you know, we'll just have to see. Batwoman is going to be one of those where we'll really have to see. DC, unfortunately, has been just rolling snake eyes on the dice as far as their characters and their character selections for television. Just really putting out characters that we don't care about. You're not Marvel, okay? DC, you're messing up, people. You're messing up. And I just, but we got to be fair. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We're getting fed another dish of vegetables that we don't want. But, you know, we don't want vegetables, but, you know, we're told broccoli's good for us, so we take a little bit. You know, and to throw away the rest. So I'm going to take a little piece of this broccoli when it comes out. That's all I'm going to say on these subjects. That's pretty much the movie news for this week, for Marvel and DC here. So let's move on to the next segment here, shall we? I took a poll online a few days ago about some of the things that the people that people remembered about the 90s. I mean, who of you remembers the 90s? Don't you remember how cool actually the 90s were? A lot of people like to think that the 80s were cool. And yes, the 80s had its moments. I would say the 80s were more weirder than not. We're more weirder than anything. I think the 80s was good for movies and some music. A lot of the music of the 80s was cool. I think Europe had its time majorly in the 80s. It was Europe bringing a lot of their music here and Miami Vice. That's what I think of when I think of the 80s. and Saturday morning cartoons of the 80s were awesome too. At least the tail end of the 80s. I don't know so much about the beginning of the 80s, but I know the tail end of it from 1987 onward. Saturday morning cartoons were awesome. But I'm talking about the 90s right now. I'll do another podcast on the 80s on what I think of that. But the 90s were cool because I feel like the 90s was that point where they got out of the 80s and it solidified where everything wanted to be. Everything from movies, from music to art to so many different things. I really think that was what the 90s were. And for me being an R&B head, I think the 90s was huge for R&B. It's actually one of my fondest memories of the 90s was the music that was out then. You know, the music then was actually still tinkering on, you know, real relationships sort of. You know, you had, you know, Will You Care For Me? You know, Are You Gonna Love Me Forever? You know, that type of deal. If You Like Somebody, you know, a lot of crushes happened in the 90s. You know, music's about having a crush on somebody. I think about Shanice, This Love Is Real, or This Love Is For You, Maya. I just feel like all those songs had true meaning. You know, they actually meant something at the time. And I don't know. I mean, compared to what music is now, which is trash, most of it, you got, okay, from a percentage standpoint, I would say about 70% of it is trash. 30%, you can get some decent music now, but you really got to search for it. And where you'll find it is from those artists from the 90s. You know, you have people like Joe. You have people like Maya. You have Boyz II Men. You had Mint Condition, you had Troop, you had Jodeci, you had All For One, even though there's some people who hate All For One, which is fine. You have, man, I mean, I could go on and on. I mean, R. Kelly, Aaron Hall, Guy, Good Night, Aaliyah. I mean, I could go ham about how many different artists there were in the 90s that made music just so awesome. That's still harking back to that old school music of the 60s and 70s, more so the 70s and what love was. That just, you know, just made the 90s cool. I feel like 90s was just a smoother tip. Now, I personally being raised as a black person, black family, and that being raised in that culture, the music we listened to was that's what we primarily listened to. What's funny is I don't know that much music, honestly, trying to think, because I'm thinking about MTV right now. You know, other cultures, what they listen to, white people, Asian people. Crap, Asian people listen to what we listen to. Let's just not lie. they did. If they listen to music at all, mostly. I feel. At least the ones I've come across and I've known. Think what else? Let's see. You know, it was just the 90s was just cool in concerns with art. I would say art pretty much shined more in the way of comics. Being a huge comic book fan, there were a lot of hardcore cemented stories, both Marvel and DC. That was a point. The 90s were a point where they were really steady in regard to their stories, their characters, what they did, it was just so much better, comics wise in the 90s. That was the beginning of the independent comic revolution, because we had Image Comics that came out. You had Valiant, you had, I'm trying to think of some other comic book companies that rose up during that time. Offhand, I don't quite remember. You remember Wizard Magazine? Wizard Magazine was out. Wizard Magazine was the go-to magazine for all things comics. It was awesome. In the 90s, if you were a DC fan, it was cool. If you were a Marvel fan in the 90s, it was cool. And it was okay to like both back then. You know, now it's like, oh, okay, well, DC's better because of this. Marvel's better because of this. I feel like both companies, though DC has always been, in my opinion, DC has always been more relatable as far as their characters are concerned. And Marvel was more for the fantastical, was for the more out there. They had the more cosmic stories. They had the, you know, things that happen out in space, dealt more with aliens. I mean, Superman and Green Lantern kind of had that. But, you know, those, they focused on characters that focused on those things. Whereas Marvel, they seem to take all the characters, all of their characters had somehow, you know, meshed in and gotten in with, you know, with more fantastical things, you know. That was just more grounded storytelling. Everybody seemed to get along better. I mean, the 90s were just, if I could give one word to the 90s, my word would be cool. That's what I would call the 90s. The 90s were just cool, just sick. And it was a fun time living. One of my listeners mentioned that 90s was cool for her because she didn't have to work. It's true. We were in high school at that time. So, you know, just that carefreeness of not having to worry about life, not having to worry about adulting, as the new term is now. You didn't have to adult. Now you got to worry about bills and children if you have them, cost of living, all those things. The 90s were just cool. We didn't have to worry about any of that stuff. And, you know, it was 90s were just a good time, man. It was just a good stinking time. And, a lot of me wishes the 90s were back, boy. I really do. The 90s, trying to think of some things from the 90s. Saturday morning cartoons of the 90s were dope too. You guys remember? Okay. One of my favorite cartoons in the 90s, and this is just me, I loved Captain Planet. I like Captain, and I think Captain Planet was on, I want to say towards the tail end of the 80s and went on to the 90s. I think it went off in the early 90s, I believe. But Captain Planet was dope. I keep wishing for Captain Planet revival. Even though deep down at its core, Captain Planet is totally, totally has a, I want to say it's a communist or socialist type message to it. You know, you're evil if you don't recycle, or you're a bad person if you don't do this. Oh, you like having more people on the earth? Oh, well, you're evil. Oh, you didn't recycle that bottle? Oh, you're hoggish greedily. You're an evil person. And that's not to say that I don't care about the environment or recycling, and being someone that cares about the earth is a bad thing. But Captain Planet, if you go back and look at it as an adult, dude, Captain Planet made you feel like a terrible person if you fit into any one of those categories. You were terrible. Okay, you were a horrible person. And a lot of the, and kind of riffing on that, you think about cartoons of the 90s too. Another one of my favorites, Rocko's Modern Life. I'll never forget this time when my son, who was about 7 or 8 at the time. No, he was 9 years old. No, he was 7 or 8. He was 7 or 8 years old. He was watching Nickelodeon. And I told him, hey, son, you know, one of the best cartoons on Nickelodeon, because Nickelodeon was my channel. That was after all the good cartoons would go off. Nickelodeon was the one. And I said, son, the best cartoons on Nickelodeon are amazing, man. You got Rugrats, which was terrible because it was a whole bunch of babies trying to deal with this, or bully that would antagonize them to the worst. Anyway, and then Rocko's Modern Life. I said, man, Rocko's Modern Life was so funny. It is the best show ever. It is amazing. It is so cool, man. You would love it. And I had, so I got him there. I sat him down in front of the TV. It was running a marathon that day, I think. And I said, hey, Jay, this is it, man. This is the show. Sit down, watch this. I was at home. It was during the time when I wasn't working at the time. And so I was home with the boy. And I was cleaning up the house, doing the things I need to. And then I hear in the background, it was the episode. This is what I hear in the background. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Yeah. Oh, baby. And I go around. I'm looking. I'm thinking the boy didn't change the channel or something. There's something else that ain't right. I go in there. Rocko's Modern Life is still on TV. It's the episode where he's working for for a 1-900 operator. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. I was thinking horrified. I'm like, what in the world do I have my son watching on TV right now? So one of those things. Rocko's Modern Life was a terrible show for kids. That wasn't even a kid show, real talk. It really wasn't. It was really aimed for adults. I mean, the undertones in there were so huge. It was ridiculous. I mean, one of the main characters' name was Heifer. Okay? That's like a derogatory term for, I believe, well, in real life, it's a term for female cow, for one. And then it's a derogatory term for a fat woman, they say, generally. You know, it's like, wait, what? These dudes always put suntan lotion on a stinking big fat hippo girl on the show. She's always like, how dare you? You guys remember that. If you guys watch Rocko's Modern Life, every time he would put suntan lotion on her, either Rocko or Heifer, and then he'd go down somewhere he shouldn't, and she would take him, how dare you? And she'd be this massive, overgrown woman. She'd take him and chuck him across the beach or something like that. You know, the 90s cartoons were something else, boy. I tell you, Nickelodeon, boy, was the undertones was deep. It was deep, man. Man, there's just, but looking back though, it's just, again, going back to that word cool, that's what the 90s were. I believe it was one of the most relaxing times that I can recall in my childhood. And even, I think even the world, I mean, you had your certain world events that happened, dealing with Saddam Hussein, all that stuff, all the political crap. But in general, I think just in America and just growing up, it was just a cooler, easier time. You got up, you went to school, you did your homework, you hung out with your friends. That was another thing. Me and my man David, we've known each other since we were kids. And that was our biggest thing. Every day, we come home, go, and if it was Friday, Saturday, I would go spend it at his house. That was an automatic thing. You know, I would spend time with my boy Dave and my man Greg, Nick, Allie, Cece, Madeline. I mean, everybody. I mean, it was the best of times, you know. And so I almost sound like Abraham Lincoln there. Or who was that? It was the best of times and it was the worst of times. It was the best time. It was amazing. And I just have very, very fond memories of the 90s. Do children have that today? No, they don't. They don't. They don't have the 90s. And now I'm starting to sound like some old cat. You remember my day back in the 90s and the 80s? We didn't have tablets where you just tap on a screen. The closest thing to a tablet we had was a television. And the closest things we saw of that technology was on Star Trek. Which is still amazing, by the way. Hardcore Trekkie Season 2 is coming out. Yes! Christopher Pike and the Enterprise. I can't wait. Anyway, I just went off right there. But no, I mean, right now, kids are so, one of my good friends says, it's stuck in the matrix. So into their tablets, so into their phones, so into, you know, the new technology, that human interaction, hanging out with your friends and doing that is not really there anymore. And when they are hanging out and when they are out and about, what are they doing? They got their phones out. I'm guilty of it these days. I really am. Just last week, I was out with a bunch of friends. Out with a bunch of friends. Got invited. We were sitting around a nice little fire. Went out to this huge property. It was like a farmhouse and a farm property, over 70 acres of property. We all got invited to go out there, just hang out and just talk. And I remember there was a point when we were sitting there and every single one of us were on our phones. And it was funny because then we were razzing each other for being on our phones. Hey, put your phone away. This is supposed to be a good time where we hang out with each other. The only person that was not on their phone the entire time was the host of the whole thing. And I felt so, deep down, I felt really bad. I'm just like, man, that's messed up. You know, it shows how literally stuck in the matrix we actually are right now. I miss the days when we could just get up, go hang out and just be around each other, you know, and just talk and talk about the future and talk about those things. That's what the 90s did. We weren't distracted. We were not distracted. And the only things that distracted us was each other, each other's company. Yeah, we had video games. Video games in the 90s was dope too. That's another thing I forgot to mention. Video games in the 90s were amazing. Okay? Because, yeah, video games were dope in the 90s. I'm a huge fighting game person and RPG person. So Final Fantasy VII to be exact. Street Fighter, you know, Virtua Fighter, King of Fighters, man, just all of those games, Mortal Kombat, all those games. That was another thing. I think that for me too is the pinnacle of video game, the beginning of the video game revolution too. Video games started really taking off in the 90s, to where they're at now. Now they have less of a fun factor than they do. Now, they're starting to go back to that fun factor, though, honestly, video games. That's another podcast. But they're starting to go back to that. But the 90s, in my opinion, again, was that penultimate time of just when everything was, just going back to the word again, man, everything was cool. It was just cool, you know? So, anyways, that's my thing. Let me know what you guys think of the 90s. What are some things that you guys thought were super cool, super important, super great about the 90s that you remember? I put a poll up on my Instagram. You guys can answer me there. If you guys are listening to this on YouTube, which I know there are some of you that do, for a fact now, leave comments below in the description. Leave comments below on what were your favorite memories or favorite things about the 90s. I'm really interested to know and see what that is. Again, I'm probably going to go ahead and revisit this topic again or bring it up again around about waste some time in the future. But I really want to know what you guys think, what you guys really enjoyed about that time. Okay? So this is the part of my podcast now that I'm going to be starting to do from now on my show, where I will be talking about other podcasts. Shouting out other podcasts, the people who are active in my community, in the Stuff Podcast community, and just giving out some love, some positivity. So this week, I wanted to give a shout. Actually, I've been really making an effort to continue building the community and to get to know other podcasters who do the same thing as I do, and getting to know them, talk to them. I've been going through Twitter. I've been going through Instagram, Facebook, and meeting a whole bunch of people. And with that, I've been listening to a whole bunch of new podcasts, which have been really stinking cool. One of the podcasts that really stood out to me this past week that I listened to was called Curly Messy Bun. And it's from a young girl, I believe her name is Sabrina from Colorado. She just started her podcast. And believe it or not, she is a natural for this. And it's funny how a lot of people, I've actually, talked to a few people who found out that I do a podcast, and I've talked them into doing it. One of my boys, Dave Wilson, who does the House of Darkner, and his podcast called Jive Talk. He's one of those ones that I talked to and talked him like, hey man, you doing podcasting would be amazing for this. You have the natural fit, and he does very well. So go ahead and check him out, by the way, if you haven't. House of Darkner, Jive Talk. His show's on YouTube, iTunes, everywhere. But this young girl, Sabrina, I was just kind of, like I said, in my adventure of discovering new talent and new podcasts to listen to, I came across Curly Messy Bun, and she really did a good job. Right now, she has 3 episodes up, plus a welcome, like, introduction podcast. Just a couple minutes, 5 minutes, just saying what she's going to be doing and all of that. But 3 official episodes. 2 of the episodes were really, really good. She did one on communication, and me being the type of romantic type person that I am and all about relationships, whatever. It was a really good episode. I was very impressed on her insight with that. This is a girl that seems to really have her head on straight. She's not like a lot of young girls that I typically know. And, you know, I really, really enjoyed hearing her speak. I enjoy hearing her cadence. One of the bigger episodes that really got my attention that I really, really enjoyed, it's a subject that I'm going to cover myself. I just need to figure out how I want to go about doing it. I should probably just tackle it the way Sabrina did in her podcast. But it was an episode on mental illness, and specifically mental illness in the Black community. This one struck a huge, huge chord with me because it is such a real thing, and it is so true. And her informal style of talking about it and the information that she got was very eye-opening, and it was something that I could definitely relate to. I'm not going to go into my inner demons, but it was something that was very relatable, and it is actually a real issue that exists and needs to be talked about. She did such a good job in talking about it, and I couldn't help but be super impressed. It was after that particular episode that I officially subscribed to her podcast, and I officially, you know, started following her. I'm really looking forward to seeing what she does with her podcast and what she's going to be doing later on in the future. So that is one I definitely recommend. Again, it's on iTunes. It's on Anchor.fm. Curly Messy Bun is from a young girl in Colorado. Good podcast. Very, very cool. And I enjoy it. And she's funny. She is actually legit funny. And for me, a funny female is very cool to me. Somebody that has a good sense of humor and can really, you know, make the whole situation fun. Even the serious subject is that she put in humor where appropriate. You know, she doesn't try too hard. She's just literally being herself. And I think those are the best type of podcasts, personally. Are just people just being themselves, not trying to get all super fancy with it or trying to put on an act of some kind, you know, but just being authentically themselves, I think is a great thing. And she does that in spades with her podcast. So Sabrina, Ian, right here from the Stuff Podcast Show, giving you big ups. You got a fan here, girl. I can't wait to see what else you put out and what you do. Okay, so those are my 2 suggestions. If you guys have any suggestions on podcasts that I should listen to and that I should, you know, or things that I should talk about even, leave me suggestions. If you're listening on YouTube, again, leave me a comment, shoot me an email. If you have the time, thestuffpodcastshow@gmail.com, shoot me a comment or DM on Instagram @thestuffpodcastshow or on the Twitterverse, @thestuffidw. Shoot me a DM there or just a tweet there. I'm learning Twitter. So, and I'm actually picking up some traction there. It's really cool. Anyway, so you guys have any thoughts, comments, suggestions, love you want to give, suggestions for other podcasts that I can listen to, let me know. We'd love to hear from you. And for those of you out in the community as well, whether you're part of the Stuff Podcast community or listeners, shout yourself out. I would love to. I'm going to be shouting those people out during my shows in this particular section, shouting out stuff. Or I don't know what I should call this section. I should just go for it. Anyways, but I want to be able to shout you guys out during my shows to let you know that I am here, I am listening, I care, and I love you. Okay? So, again, you guys know where to reach me. YouTube's The Stuff Podcast Show. Instagram, The Stuff Podcast Show. Facebook, The Stuff Podcast Show. Everywhere is The Stuff Podcast Show, except for Twitter, which is at The Stuff IDW. Okay? So, talk to you guys. See you guys next time for more shout-outs. Just want to take the time once again to thank everybody for taking the time to listen to my podcast. And this podcast has been gaining a lot of traction lately. I've been looking up the numbers for it. It's very, very cool, very encouraging. So, again, I thank you guys so, so much for listening to my podcast. My biggest thing right now is building community. So if there's anything that you want to have talked about on the show, any ideas or suggestions, please be sure to leave them with me. Leave a message if you're listening on Anchor, if you're listening on YouTube. Leave a comment below. You can shoot me an email at thestuffpodcastshow@gmail.com or send me an instant message over on Instagram or Facebook at The Stuff Podcast Show. I answer all comments. Oh, and also on Twitter, at The Stuff IDW on Twitter. I'll be posting polls, all kind of things there for you guys to get involved in. Again, my biggest goal is to do more for the community, give you guys some great entertainment, share some more music with you guys, and all of those things. Also, next Wednesday, be on the lookout for the next series that I'm going to be having up on the Stuff Podcast Show YouTube page, which is called Talking About Stuff, or it's about interviewing stuff. I forget, but it's a new interviewing show that I have, and the first episode is going to be with a wonderful cosplayer by the name of Sapphire Nova Cosplay. So that will be up actually this Wednesday, so make sure you guys tune in for that. And again, if there are some people you'd like to see me interview, let me know. And I will see if I can make that happen. There will be more interviewing content coming soon, as I will be going to the Santa Clara Toy Expo. Not this weekend, but the following weekend coming up. So hopefully I'll be coming across some celebrities and artists and toy makers and other things like that. And getting some interviewing time with them as well. So with that being said, again, thank you so much for listening this week. I really, really appreciate it. And I look forward to seeing you guys next Saturday. All right. Talk to you guys soon and take care. Bye.